Thanks for that great worship team. Good morning. Not sure what that moisture is that's coming out of the sky. I think I've heard that's called rain. We thank God for that. Glad that you're with us this morning and on this rainy Sunday morning. If you are visiting with us, we really are glad you're here. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place, and I hope you feel like this could be your church family. We're not for everybody. We got a lot of really nice people. Got a few knuckleheads, and I'm at the top of that list. But that's okay. And you knuckleheads know who you are. Is this on? That's when I need to have a sign. You know how in the old days they had like laugh. They had the signs that when you were in a studio audience. Okay, never mind. All right. Glad that you're here. If you're visiting with us this morning, we do hope you feel the love of Christ in this place. And there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Would love for you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would really like to know that you were here. And at the end of the service, you can either leave that in your seat. And what I hope you'll do is I hope you'll bring it with you and meet me in the foyer down at this end of the foyer. I have a free gift for our visitors, and would love to get to know you and meet you. If you would turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Now, you guys are going to have to pick it up a little bit today because we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. So you're going to have to pick it up, okay? I'm trying to bring my A game here, and we need you to bring your A game. We got a whoop. All right. Love it. We're working our way up to amen. We got a whoop, and we're working our way up to an amen. All right. Acts chapter 1. Now, it's interesting. This book was written by Luke, the same Luke from the Gospel of Luke. Luke was, by all accounts, most theologians believe Luke was a Gentile. I believe he was a physician. And it's interesting, if you go back, I'm not going to spend any time on it this morning, but if you go back and read the first several verses of chapter 1 of Luke, he's addressing that book to this Theophilus. Okay, and so he's already kind of written that book, addressed it to him, and now we pick it up in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, where he begins this book in this, much the same way. In my former book, he's speaking of the Gospel of Luke, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Now, I want to stop there for just a second, and I want that to sink in, that there were people, it was recorded history, it's not just in the Bible, but we see this even in other recorded history, that Jesus was crucified. The man Jesus was crucified. And I've said it before, but the Romans were good at what they did. When they took you down off the cross, you were dead. I mean, they didn't mess up. So these disciples and others, it's recorded over 500 others, saw this dead Jesus taken down off the cross, put into a tomb, and then 3 days later, he shows up, he's resurrected. And so he, in verse 3, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water. Now this is if people think that baptism saves you, listen to verse 5. John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Seems like something else is going on there besides just getting wet. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you and we have invited you to be with us today. We're asking, Holy Spirit, that you come and speak. And if truth be known, nobody wants to hear from me, but we want to hear from you. We ask you to speak in power and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is Pentecost Sunday. How many people knew that? That's okay. A few of you did, a few of you didn't. That's okay. It's not something that we don't quite anticipate Pentecost Sunday like we do Christmas or Easter or those kinds of things. But today is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday is recorded in chapter 2 of Acts, where Pentecost is the sending of the Holy Spirit that is being promised here, that Jesus is promising and he's foretelling in Acts chapter 1. Well, in Acts chapter 2, it happens. The disciples are gathered together and they're praying and they're waiting, just as Jesus said, and the Holy Spirit comes and things begin to explode. Now, so there's this coming of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk for just a second. Our heritage, you know, we've kind of, in the Methodist Church, we got some problems that we're working our way through. But the founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, I mean, he wasn't Jesus, but he had a lot of things. He's a pretty good guy. He was really dedicated to the gospel. Now, what's interesting, Charles and John Wesley were brothers, and they were kind of partners, and they had come to America. They were from England. They come to America trying to spread the word in America, and they actually ended up in Georgia. And at that time, they were young men. They had been, their mother had taught them the disciplines of the Christian faith, reading the Bible, praying, meditating, just serving, serving others, serving in prison, serving the hungry. And so they were very much into the disciplines of the Christian life. And they came over and they start trying to kind of establish this church in Georgia. And long story short, it was a mess. It was a mess. And Charles ended up leaving, and John, more he snuck out in the dead of night so that he wouldn't be arrested. I mean, it was a mess. So they come back to England, and what's interesting is actually when they were, back up a second, when they were on their way to America, they were on this ship. And a big storm came up, and John and Charles, not being sure of their salvation. Here we are, we got preachers. Hello, I mean, y'all probably never met a preacher like that, but we got preachers that's not sure that they're saved, not sure what'll happen when they die. And this storm comes, and they're thinking, we're going to die. And I've said this before, but I can just see John just running around. We're all going to die. We're all going to die. You know, just kind of panicking. He probably didn't do it quite that bad, but he was scared to death. He was scared to death he was going to die. And he looks over, and there's these Moravian Christians that are sitting over there singing praise songs. And the storms are crashing in, the waves are crashing in, their boat's fixing to sink, and they're over there like, you know, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. You know, they're just, man, they're good. And that attracted John. It's like, what's up with these guys? So when he makes his way, he fails in America, he makes his way back to England, he begins to seek out, what did these guys, these Moravian Christians, what did they have that I don't have? He was diligently serving the Lord, diligently reading the Word, preaching the Word, but they had something that he didn't have. What was it, church? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So they find Charles and John, they find themselves back in England, and I want to read to you, flip up that slide of Charles Wesley. This is Charles Wesley. Actually, I did the math, and some y'all can kind of do the math, but I think it was 280 years, Pentecost, 280 years back was when this is recorded. Pentecost Sunday, May the 21st, 1738. And here's what Charles wrote. I felt the Spirit of God striving with my spirit till by degrees he chased away the darkness of my unbelief. Now, this is a pastor who's been serving the Lord diligently his whole life. I found myself convinced, I now found myself at peace with God and rejoiced in hope of loving Christ. I mean, so Charles gets it. The Holy Spirit fills him on Pentecost Sunday 280 years ago, and he records this, that suddenly he had peace. And if you don't have peace, if you don't know where you're going when you leave this earth, I want you to know that. God wants you to know that. He wants you to have peace. And it's not peace, and it's not because you're a good old boy or a good old gal. It's because he is a good Savior. Now, John Wesley, so 3 days later, Charles has gotten, he's received the Holy Spirit. 3 days later, May the 24th, 1738, John records this in his journal. And y'all are probably familiar with some of this. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street. How many of you ever gone to church very unwillingly? Kind of couple hands went up. You know, it's bad when you're the preacher and you go very unwillingly. But I don't. I love coming to church. But so he went very unwillingly where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle of the Romans. About a quarter before 9, he records it, 8:45, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. Don't you love that? What's going on with John? He's being filled with the Holy Spirit. So here's this man who has diligently served and had all these disciplines of the Christian life, but he felt his heart strangely warm. He was in his mid-30s when this happened. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation. And an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I began, now listen to this, so he's filled with the Holy Spirit. The very next entry in his journal, listen to what he does. I began to pray with all my might for those who had more especially, in special manner, despitefully used me and persecuted me. He begins to pray immediately for his enemies, people that had been mean to him. I then testified openly to all there what I now first felt in my heart. Today's message is burning hearts. Now, I just want to say this. I said it just a second ago, but I want to say it again. If you're not sure what's going to happen when you leave this earth, God wants you to be sure. The Scripture says that His Spirit, the Spirit of God, He reassures our spirit that we belong to Him. And so I've said it before, but I just want to make sure that you understand. If I fall dead in the parking lot today going to my truck, I know where I'm going. And it's not because I'm a preacher, and it's not because I'm good, it's not because I've done anything. It's because I know Jesus loves me. I know He took nails for me and for you. So I first want to ask this question. What did the church, if you read back through Acts, that whole book is talking about that first century church, the things that were going on. What did the church accomplish before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost? Now, this is very deep. I hope you'll stay with me on this. Are you ready? Go ahead. Go ahead, Alan. Give it to them. Nothing. Hello. Until the Holy Spirit came, Jesus just said, just wait here. Just wait here. Because I'm going to send what me and the Father have promised. I'm going to send it. And it was almost like he was saying, then watch out. That's when the fun begins. That's when the church is really launched. Nothing happened before the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. They're gathering, they're praying, they're having this meeting. No ministry's happening. So what does the church receive through the Holy Spirit? Now, everybody, here's what I want you to do. Symbolically, reach over your left shoulder, grab your seatbelt, pull it down, and buckle it. Now, some of you older people, you can just reach down on your waist and just do the waistband. Buckle it. If you're driving an older vehicle. The kids are going, what? What? Never seen a seatbelt like that. We are going to, I've put a handout in your, and I think I've given this to you in the past, but we're gonna run through this. I mean, man, I could preach a whole year on the Holy Spirit. I want you to have this handout. Put it in your Bible. Put it someplace where you see it often, because I want you to understand what all we receive as God's people, what all we receive as the church through the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is and what we receive. So we're gonna hit this. I'm gonna hit the ground running here. So I hope you got your seatbelt buckled. First of all, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit, it's not is there's not this hierarchy like God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's not like this hierarchy. It's like we believe as Orthodox Christians, we believe that God is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, we can't quite wrap our minds around how that is. And you know why? Because we're not God. I mean, His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't understand the fullness of who God is, but we do understand through Scripture that God is the triune God, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to read all of these Scriptures. I've noted them there for you. We're going to hit this quickly, and you can go and look at these on your own time. Okay. So it's also Holy Spirit is God. It's also the Spirit of Jesus Christ because that is God. Jesus was conceived by the Spirit. Jesus received the Spirit in the wilderness. Actually, He received at baptism, and then He proceeded to go to the wilderness. Jesus was empowered and led by the Spirit. And I love this, that the Spirit of God enabled Jesus to endure the cross. I think it's Hebrews 12, I believe it's 12:2, that says, "For the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross." And it may have listed that. Yeah, no, that's a different passage. But in Hebrews 12:2, the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. What was the joy set before Him? You and I, our salvation. And it was the Spirit of God that enabled Him, empowered Him to endure the cross. It says in Romans 8 that He was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I love this. I'm skipping ahead, so I'm going to wait. I'm going to hold that. So he ascended for us to receive. We just read that in Acts 1. John 16 also says that He came down at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. And this is the first blank you can fill in there. And the Holy Spirit lives in, come on, you, us. So there's a song, it's called The Same Power. Anybody ever heard it? We've sang it here once or twice, but the song says, it's fairly new, been out in the last couple of years probably. It says, the same power that resurrected Jesus lives in you. Now, if we can tap into that, church, if we can tap into that, what can we do with that? The resurrection power that lives in us. It was received at baptism, sent from God through Christ, can be separate from salvation. And you can read these passages. I'm not going to spend time preaching on each one of these points. We must be born of the Spirit. So there's this, I want this so much to sink into us. It's the Christian life is not what we do for God. It's not our service. All those are good, great things. It's not our disciplines, reading the Bible, and all those are great things. But those are not things that lead us to eternal life. Only the blood of Christ leads us to eternal life. So, reveals our salvation. We must repent to receive the Holy Spirit. It is God's mark or seal on us, His deposit to us. You know, when I think about that, it's like, I don't even know, do they still do layaways? Does anybody still do layaways? But I remember that when layaways used to be real, real popular. It's like, man, I want that new whatever. I want that new jacket and that new jacket is more than I can afford right now. It's $300, and all I've got's $50, but I want that, and I want it before they're all sold out. So you could put that item on layaway, and you would like, I'm pay my $50, and I'm going to set that aside for another day. It's a deposit I've made on that jacket. And so if somebody goes back there in the back, and they're going through, and they see that jacket, they go, oh, I want that jacket, and it's like, oh, no. This is the property of Jeff Hatcher. It's already marked for him. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's His mark on us, His seal on us, His deposit to us. And He doesn't force that upon us. We have to ask for it. We'll get more into that in a second. And the Holy Spirit, when we surrender ourselves to the Holy Spirit, it controls us. I mean, it gives us direction. It gives us vision. Now, here's some more on the back page. Here's some more for you to fill in. The Holy Spirit provides peace. Man, I just if you don't have peace, if you're worried about stuff, if you're constantly worrying about stuff, man, God wants you to have peace. And the Holy Spirit gives us peace. He provides us peace. And you can read the scriptures. He provides us power. Power to do things that are crazy things. Now, maybe you'll hear more about this later, and I think I've shared it a few years ago, but Billy and I, and it wasn't Billy and I, but we were in the prayer room, and it's this kind of ironic that we're going to have a healing service here next week, but a few years ago, there was someone had came to us that had been given, literally had been given a medical death sentence. They had a condition that said, you're going to die. There was no treatment. There was no answer for this. You're going to die. And it was something that had been coming for some 15 plus years and had finally got to the point where it progressed to this stage that just like, there's nothing else. Within a few months, you will be gone. And this was a fairly young person. And Billy and I went to the prayer room with this person and prayed and asked the Lord, Lord, the medical community's got nothing. We got nothing. All we got's you. And I just want to tell you, about a month later, after some more tests, this person went out of town and had all sorts of tests, and I saw the report. I saw the report before, and it was these counts were supposed to be zero, and they were in the hundreds of thousands, these counts. I don't even remember what it was registered, some kind of blood counts. They were in the hundreds of thousands and had been for decades, and I saw the report, and it's been confirmed multiple times since. It said 0% found. And so I saw the paper. I saw both of them. And the doctor, this specialist out from out of town, was like, I don't know if he's a Christian or not, was just like, no, there's been a mistake. So did it again. Right? Biopsies, blood work, did it again. 0 found. A month later, went more blood work. 0 found. Billy? He gives us power through the Holy Spirit to do things that we can't even imagine. Immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine is what Scripture tells us. And so He provides peace, power. He provides truth. You know, and man, if our world ever needs anything, we need truth. Because it's just like the children's sermon today. It's like, just because you call that tail a leg doesn't mean it's a leg. I love that. I wish I'm going to steal that someday. I guess I just did. He is our counselor. If you're wondering, if you need wisdom about the future, about what to do, about job decisions, about who you should date, who you should marry, who you should have relationships with, all of those kinds of things, He's our counselor. He convicts us. The next blank is convicts. He convicts us. I say this all the time, but I want you to understand that the Holy Spirit doesn't shame us. If you're feeling shame, that comes from the enemy. But the Holy Spirit most definitely will convict us. Don't do that, Jeff. Don't do that. That's bad. That leads to death. Stay away from that. He teaches us. He provides encouragement, growth. He helps us in our weakness. I love this. He intercedes for us. He's the giver of gifts. And if you memorize a scripture, memorize Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That's one of the few that I can recite by heart, because that's if you filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the fruit that should be coming out of your life. If you're worried and you're anxious all the time, if you're angry, if you're unforgiving, if that's not that you struggle maybe forgiving somebody, but if that's the fruit that's constantly coming out of your life, perhaps you don't have the Spirit. He matures us, He purifies us, He sanctifies us. He brings glory to God and He builds up the church. And I'm going to save that last one for just a moment. So, I want to. It sounds like this Houses for Healing that we've been promoting, and many of you have been involved in. It sounds like that, you know, that's just about service, what we can do. But I just want to tell you, the Holy Spirit is active in that ministry. Brian, where are you at? Brian, come on up. Brian Massey. I want Brian to. He was telling me a story. Brian is. is the one who God gave the vision for this houses for healing. And Brian's been here before to share about that. But he's telling me this story, and I'm like, dude, our church needs to hear that. Our church needs to hear that. And so, Brian, just tell them your story. You got 30 seconds. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Bring it to us, brother.
Well, I received a phone call from a lady that lives here in Abilene. This is regarding our first house. We call it the Sweetwater Area House. It's purposed to serve that geographical area of the big country. This lady called me and said, I heard about your ministry, and I've got a need. I was wondering if you could help us out with it. She said, we live in Abilene, and we know that the house is purposed for the Sweetwater area, but it's a real need. You see, my mom has dementia, and my brother has cancer, and he lives with her. Whenever it freezes, the water pipes freeze up, and they don't have running water. And it's a problem because my brother has a trach, and it's gotten infected. So I began to talk to her and try to understand the story. I listened to the rest of the story, and I tell her, let me call the pastors over in Sweetwater and see if they're okay with you guys stepping into the house. And sure enough, they were. So we got them into the house, and we began to know Rolando, her brother. Rolando had had a tumor on his neck, and the tumor wasn't operable here in Abilene. They sent him to JPS in Fort Worth. JPS excised the tumor. They sent him back here to Abilene, and it was at that house during the winter that the trach got infected. He goes back to Hendrick Hospital, and as he's there at Hendrick and they're treating him with IV antibiotics, they find that he has terminal cancer. The cancer had metastasized and gone into both of his lungs, and he's had a death sentence pronounced over him. Rolando has not, up to this point, in any way really tried to live for the Lord. He led a very rough life. He had been in prison and different things, but at this point, his attention has been gotten. We get him over there to the house to love on him, and he walks in, and we've got a Bible waiting for him with his name on it. He takes that Bible, and he picks it up, and he just holds it to his chest. And later, whenever I go over there to the house, he's on the couch. He can't see out of his left eye, and he's just reading the Bible. He needed hope, and the Word of God was delivered to him. Over the course of a few weeks, the ladies at Ridgemont Baptist, the adopting church for the Sweetwater Area House, began to love on him. They took casseroles over to him. They prayed with him. They just loved on him and his caregiver. And about 3 or 4 days before Rolando went to be with the Lord, he gave his heart to Christ. Not only did he get saved, but his caregiver got saved. At the time of the funeral, they wanted me to do the funeral. I go over there and I'm talking to the family, and there's a brother on the porch that had been estranged from the family for 20 years. He comes back to the family. He gets saved. He actually went up to the community room and did all the caulking and everything. He wanted to get involved. Not only that, but there was a sister-in-law, that had been hit by a car over on Ambler Street, crossing from the area of Popeyes over to the dollar store. This happened in September of 17. As she was crossing the street, a couple of guys were racing down the street, and she got her grandkids pushed up onto the grass, but one of the cars clipped her, hit her leg, shattered the bone in her tibia and fibula. I saw the x-rays because she was in the hospital a few weeks ago, and she was in need of a miracle. Another family member, which is her husband, Martin, has given his heart to Christ. Martin called me and said, we need prayer. The doctor wants to amputate my wife's leg. We go up there to the hospital, and she shows me the x-rays, and the bones have begun to grow together, and it's very bad. There's an infection in there, and the doctor here in Abilene says he can't do anything. The only thing he can do is amputate. So he says, I'll call the Metroplex. There's a doctor, I believe it's at Baylor. Maybe he can do something. He's an orthopedic specialist. Now, this lady didn't have any money. She didn't have any insurance, no Medicare, no Medicaid, and it was pretty bad looking. So the next day, Martin calls me. Her husband tells me, you need to call my wife because they had just found out that The doctor in the Metroplex agreed to take her as a patient, even though she couldn't pay, and it was going to be free. And they were going to provide a free ambulance ride to the Metroplex. They saved the leg. There's no infection in the leg. They give her a free ride back home in an ambulance. She's at Hendrick right now, and there's no infection in her bone. A miracle. The Lord has been doing miracles, all from that one guy, Rolando. It's just spread out throughout the family because the Holy Spirit worked through them. Amen. Okay.
So we're not talking about legalistic stuff here, guys. I don't know about y'all, but I'm planning on saying this, but I'm speaking to the students, the graduating students at Wiley this afternoon in the baccalaureate service, and one of the things that I want to tell them is, you know, the lie that that our culture puts on us is that sin is fun and God is boring. That's the lie. But the truth is, no, sin is destructive. Sin destroys, and God brings fullness of life. He brings joy. I mean, I don't know how people make it without the Lord in their lives. And we have, what a privilege that God has seen to find us worthy to be a part of that. Isn't that awesome? That He sent His Holy Spirit to fill us, to provide us with peace and power and truth and all this giftedness that He's given us. And He said, you're my representatives. Go make disciples. Go be the church. Go love on my behalf. And if we think that church is just this, oh, I guess I better go, and very reluctantly, guess I better go and be good today. It's like, man, that ain't it at all. That's just not it. What a blessing to be able to be an instrument of the Holy Spirit. And that last option, or the last blank on your card is there. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? We receive the Holy Spirit by asking in faith. I mean, this scripture in Luke says, I'll read that one. It says, if you then, Jesus, these are the words of Jesus, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He's just saying, just ask. If this, what I'm talking to you about this morning, is you're like, I don't get it, but I really would like to get it. I mean, you know, that's Charles and John Wesley. I mean, you know, they were great guys, did a lot of great things for the kingdom, but they just didn't get it. And they were failing. What's so incredible is how much they failed in America when they came back and after they received the Holy Spirit, after this, what's known as the Aldersgate experience for John Wesley. His ministry exploded. It exploded. He suddenly started operating in the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to do miraculous things. Brian, thank you for sharing that. And I just, do we want that, church? Amen. Do we want it? Is that the kind of church we want to be? That explodes with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we don't add another single person to our numbers, I hope that we do. But if we don't, let's, with the ones that God has assembled here, man, let's be a powerhouse for God. I want to be a powerhouse where people go, man, I walked into that sanctuary and I knew I was walking into the presence of God. I love that. I've told you that before, but before a song is sang, before a word is preached, I've had people say, I just walked into the sanctuary and I could feel the presence of God. Man, I love that. There's nothing you can say that blesses me more than that right there. So I just want to ask you to bow your heads. You know, many of you have been involved with Houses for Healing. The update there is we have framed the house, we've put siding on the outside of the house, we have had the electrical and the plumbing done, we're getting ready to have insulation put in, and then we'll be back up online to sheetrock and to begin to to finish out the inside of the house, but it's coming along great. And so many of you have been involved in that process, and thank you. Really cool things. Some children from Brownwood that we're hosting that home, they came and brought gift bags. It was the kids' ideas. They made these gift bags to, when we have someone staying in the home we're sponsoring, we take them a gift bag. It's got all sorts of little goodies in it and stuff that we take them, and it's like, these are from the children of Brownwood that love you. So if you just bow your head, this morning, I invite, as we sing this last song, if anybody wants to come to the altar, and man, if you, I'm going to be out in the foyer, and after this last song, Billy will be down front as well. If you want to ask for this Holy Spirit that we're talking about, if you want to ask to be filled by the Holy Spirit and saved by the blood of Jesus, please come. Find Billy or I, one of the other staff members, and let's do that this morning. Father, we are humbled that you're even mindful of us. We're humbled that we have received this gift that is you. You have given us yourself. You live inside of us. What a humbling thing that is, God. We thank you that with that gift of the Holy Spirit comes power. It gives us the ability to be witnesses to your love. So come, Holy Spirit, on this place, not just now at this moment, but every time we gather together, may your Holy Spirit be thick among us. Bless us and equip us to be your representatives. In Jesus' name.